T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7, The Fan. High noon in the District of Columbia on a Tell the Truth Tuesday. Folks are fired up. Our guy Richmond John just sent in a picture of where the seats are that you can get for $100 at FedEx Field on Sunday. They're standing room only in...
by the flags.
By the absolute roof of FedEx Field in the end zone. Is that right, Landfill?
It looks like it. Imagine the breeze through there, though. Because, like, that's way at the top.
It'd be quite cold, too. What's the weather look like for Sunday? I can't imagine it's a blustery 75. All right, let's get to these phones. folks are fired up. I'm going to start with Biscuit in Alexandria.
Biscuit.
Hello, Biscuit.
Hello.
What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, man? What's going on?
Doing good, man. What's happening?
Who I'm talking to?
Where did you just call?
No, my buddy just called. It's a radio station, man. I'm talking about the ring. I'm watching it. Football team.
Okay.
Where they at?
That's who you just called, and we just pulled you up on air.
Are we on air now?
Yeah.
Biscuit, you seem very confused.
Oh. Yeah, man. It's been a long day, man.
It's noon, Biscuit. What have you been up to?
What have I been doing, man? I've been working hard, man. Working hard for the Washington football team.
What do you do for football team? Biscuit, can you turn your radio down?
Yeah. Well, look, I just want to say that I think we're going to go ahead and be the divisional winners. Reason why, if we beat Dallas, I think we can go ahead and beat Philly and Giants twice.
They already played the Giants, but yeah, all right. So you got them winning the division.
I got them winning the division.
All right.
And do you work for the team?
No, I don't work for the team, but I'm just a true fan. I've been a fan for 50-something years.
Well, and Biscuit, why were you so confused earlier?
Oh, he was driving.
All right. Well, thank you for
the call. You know, you can't drive and talk on the phone at the same time.
Hey, you got to stay safe out there. Yeah. Thank you, man. Appreciate the call. That was a wild ride, boys. I don't know what the hell was going on there. It's funny to me when somebody asks who they're talking to. Like, we didn't call you.
Just yeah. Everything about that call completely changed halfway through. Yeah. It was bizarre.
Yeah.
Let's go to Chris in D.C. Chris, what's up, man? You're on with B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, what's up, D-Mitch? What's up, Finley?
Good, brother.
How you doing, man?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Doing well,
We're
man.
Good, man.
Hey, look. I honestly believe that the Dallas and Washington game still holds a lot of weight. And the reason why I say that is old rivalries never die. It's just like a Michigan-Ohio State or Baltimore versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's always going to be that rivalry regardless. I mean, it may not be the same as it once was, but you still have bragging rights. It's all about bragging rights. Like, we get to shut Dallas fans up. They're cocky. They're very cocky. Like, they win a few games and they think that they rule the world, but they never win a Super Bowl. And they have a all-star team every year, and they do the same thing. And it's like the big brother, little brother syndrome when it comes to between Dallas and Washington.
So who's the big brother in that situation?
We're the big brothers, of course. I mean, if we're going off of last season, we beat them last season. They like to throw the Super Bowl wins in our face and stuff like that. But like I say, they've had a chance to get to the Super Bowl the last two seasons. That year that they played LA and they claimed that they got cheated, et cetera, or whatever, right? But I feel like right now we can win a division because this is the team that we were looking for in week one. I was very disappointed in the season opener when I went there and we lost. And yet, it's still I felt that we still have potential. And now I see that this is the team. We have the team right now. This is the team we've been looking for since week one. There's balance in the offense. There's balance on the defense. The defense is doing very well in the second half of the season. They're stopping teams. They're getting three and outs. Teams are punting the ball. The offense is holding the ball. The time of possession, we're looking good. I think this is the team we've been looking for, and I'm hopeful, honestly. And I think the main reason why a lot of fans no longer want to deal with the team is because when Dan Snyder took us out of D.C., I mean, I grew up off of 17th and East Capitol. So I was right around the corner from RFK.
Yeah, that's right there. So
I was right there. I used to hear.
But Dan Snyder didn't take us out of D.C.
Jack Ken Cook
took us out of D.C.
Thank you, Chris. It's a good call, man. I appreciate you. It's good to have passionate Washington fans. I feel like it's fewer and farther between. But I do think, listen, we can get caught up in $99 standing room only tickets or, you know, $500 club level tickets. We can get caught up in all that. I think from a football perspective, Washington absolutely has a chance to win this weekend.
No, they do. I mean, I've said that already. But the question was about the rivalry still going on, and I don't see it like he sees it.
Right.
Haven't seen it like that for some years. And I think a lot of people would admit that. And, yes, we do make it into a bigger thing than Dallas does.
Well,
why?
It's like,
I don't know, but we do.
Well, I think because Dallas is still this huge national brand, whether they're good or not. That's just what Jerry has built there. And when Dallas goes to New York, when Dallas goes to Philly, there's still a ton of juice around those games. Uh-huh. Hell, when Dallas played New England earlier this year, it was a huge game. Washington doesn't really get that type of excitement unless they start winning. And you know what? It's entirely possible Washington's going to have back-to-back playoff seasons. And that starts to build a little bit of juice for it.
Yeah.
And maybe it can get all the way back. Kimberly on Twitter says, during Dallas week years ago, people decorated with arrows through cowboy hats. Right now, we don't have any identity to do things like that. Kind of interesting. I remember I had a poster when I was a kid. It was a Redskins poster, and there was a picture of a cowboy with an arrow through his hat. Like, I definitely remember that. It was like a cartoon picture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's going to be any more arrows anytime soon.
Yeah, might decorate with it, but you won't be buying nothing from a store.
The arrow era is over. Carlos in Severna Park has information on the standing room only tickets. Carlos, what's up, dude?
So there's a way you can cheat the system on this, all right? Buy the standing room tickets that are for, like, the way up at the nosebleeds. However, in the lower level where the end zone is, there is a long bar stretching from one side of the tipping of the end zone to the other side of the end zone.
That's true. That's where
the set was. Yeah. Yeah, so we're pretty much broadcast the pregame show inside the stadium.
Right.
It's first come, first serve. You don't need tickets for that. Honestly, the only thing I recommend is getting a buddy with you, because once you leave that area, it's gone. People are going to be scowling that area. But for $99 for lower level, if you can get to that bar on either side of the end zone, that's golden, man. The view is great. I've done that before the beginning of this year. So I do that.
Look at this, people helping people.
But you know what?
Do they check tickets at all?
Let me just say, they listen to this show consistently. They're going to have people scouring that area now.
Hey, I advertise. They can pick up all the proceeds for whatever those money. They can thank me for selling those $99 tickets and all that. They're about to be sell out. I'll be there at the game, though, at my own seats. But thanks for taking my call, guys. God bless.
Bro. Appreciate
thank you, buddy,
man.
Carlos. Appreciate it. Cody, you tweeted out true or false, $99 for a standing room ticket is a good deal. What have the responses been like?
One guy asked if there's a plumbing inspection prior to. One guy said that he can watch it at an actual FedEx store instead. A lot of people are saying false, and it's just not a good idea.
One dude said, hell no, I can sit for free at home.
Look, one of the benefits of the seats being at the very, very top of the upper level is there are no pipes above your head to dump sewage on you. So think about that.
You're playing chess, Landfill, thinking one step ahead.
Oh, boy.
I mean, they're just damned if they do. Like, everything they try just comes across so hollow. Right?
It does. It does. I mean, listen, man. Whoever wants to go to the game, they're going to go. If someone has been ignited, they're going to pay the prices to go. But I think the majority of people are saying no.
Yeah, obviously.
Do you know how much tickets for standing room only cost in Dallas?
How much?
$68. That's indoors.
And it's that cool area, too. I've seen the area where they have like go-go dancers and
is it
stuff.
Lower or higher?
I mean, it's not the absolute top. It's not a great view. But it's a cool area, and you have that gigantic big screen you can watch.
Yeah, and so you watch it straight on. Now, you're not looking at them from up top, but they look like ants.
Right.
Or look like Anthony.
Right, Ann Haney. Let's go to Colin. Colin's in Brooklyn. I like that. Colin, what's up, man? You're on with B. Mitchell Finley.
Yo, what's up, fellas? It's Tell the Truth Tuesday. I got three truths.
Let's do it.
Number one, yes, we're going to win the division because, like Ron said, no one's gonna dictate what we're doing. Number two, standing room only. I was at the Monday night game versus Seattle. I had seats in the end zone. I stood the entire time. The only way you were gonna see the game is if you were standing. So the seats don't really matter. If you want to be in the game, you're gonna be there. If you can afford it, you're gonna go. Number three, which I think is the most important, is that Anheuser-Busch, whatever distributorship is dropping off Bud Light at FedEx Field, they need to step it up and come up with a ticket program because fans and stands equal Bud Lights in hand. So if they want to sell more Bud Light, which benefits both Dan and Bud Light, they need to figure it out.
Yeah, but I don't think it should be on Bud Light. Bud Light's selling plenty of beer.
Thanks for the call, man. Fans make beer in hand. The people that stay home and throw watch parties, they got beer there, too.
Right. There's plenty of beer.
Just because you don't go to the stadium don't mean you're not selling beer.
There's plenty of beer. There's just not enough people going to the games. I think that is part of the issue.
Yeah.
Let's go to Tim in D.C. Tim, what's up, dude? You're on with B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
What up, Tim?
Good, dude.
All right, fellas. JP, man, sound like you got your pipes back, man. Sound good, bro.
Thank you. I'm getting there. I'm not all the way back. We're getting there.
I just want to say I'll touch on what's already been said, but I do think that we can win a division. I think if we get Dallas twice, we get Philly and the Giants, of course. Maybe if we probably split with maybe Philly. I don't know, because Philly's kind of been a thorn in our side a little bit. But if we can also get Dallas to lose another game, I don't know what other teams they have on their remaining schedule. If we can get somebody to bump them and we sweep the Cowboys, we get Philly, get the Giants, I think we can win this division. Also, I think the key to beating the Cowboys is we can't let Dak sit back there and get comfortable, man. We need to throw some blitzes on him, get as much pressure as we can on him. Don't let the guy get comfortable, man, because those receivers that they have, they will chew us up. We got to get out of that zone. We got to play it, you know, in situational instances during the game. We can't stay in that zone defense and let them just march up and down the field on us. We got to get some pressure, man. Keep running the ball and go down the field, even if we don't have the call, I mean, have the play or have the guy open, there's a possibility that we can get a P.I. Because everybody, a lot of times when I'm looking at the game and I see when they're passing the ball, I see McLaurin going deep. And a lot of times if Heineke could just hold the ball just for an extra second, he could catch him, man. I see him streaking a lot, and I see guys are grabbing on him. So if they at least try, you know, stop all the dinking and dunking and go down the field at least 5 times throughout the game, at least, just to keep them honest, man. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate y'all taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Tim. There has not been a lot of downfield action in the last couple games. I agree with him there. I want to go to Chris in Clinton. Chris has some information here. Chris, what's up, dude? You're on with B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I've been sitting here listening to everybody talking, and I had to say it this way, man. Y'all can't – fans, don't be mad at the market. The market is the market, man. Like, I'm a season ticket holder. I've been there every game this year. And I told my partners, I said, look, man, y'all buy these tickets 2-3 weeks in advance for the Cowboys game because we already knew. So you come up the week of and you're wondering why the prices are high because, you know, people, like a lot of people that have season tickets, they try to make their money on this game because they know everybody usually want to go. It's somewhat of a rivalry. So they're going to use that money to buy their tickets next season. So the prices usually go up. It's a premium game. And that standing room only thing, I mean, that's the market. It is what it is. You can't blame the team for the market because you know what? As we're sitting here as Washington fans complaining about it, you know who's not complaining about it and buying the tickets? Cowboy fans. You know what I'm saying?
But see, that's the thing about it, though, brother. Hey, the Cowboy fans are going to be here for nine games a year, ten games a year.
Right, that's the problem.
It's going to be the Washington football team fans. So you better try to make those fans happy because they're not sitting in the seats anymore.
Here's my thing, though. I was there. I'm a season ticket holder. I've been there. And my ticket price ain't that high. It's only high because you're trying to buy it the week of. The last game wasn't that high. The Monday Night Football game wasn't that high. It's just because of we won 4 games in a row. We're playing against the Cowboys, premium game, they're number one in NFC East right now. We're coming to get our crown back, and it's the show. It is what it is.
No, I understand that point.
I hear what you're saying,
but what I'm saying
sure.
is when this game is over,
thank you for the call,
Chris. Those Cowboy fans aren't going to be buying tickets for you anymore.
Right, like
so. You might—that's what we're talking about. You can't put all your eggs in one damn one game.
When you say it's not the team's fault, the team's just cowing to the market. Sure, but the team has a much bigger problem that they don't have enough fans coming to games, and that Dallas fans can just buy out this game.
We hear our fans complaining about the other team fans coming in. You know why? Because they price them out.
You're not buying the tickets, right?
So.
And certainly it's a premium game, and you see premium ticket pricing across all sports now. Like, I understand all that, but the problem to me is bigger than that singular thing. Let's get one more in here. Let's go to Darren. DNC, what's up, buddy?
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. Short and sweet, I agree with the market, but then I disagree with the value because who would want to pay $99 just to stand there if it's nothing, if it's no quality in that? I struggle buying tickets. I'm going to be honest. I'm bad at budgeting. I'm not the type of person who has like a budget and what have you to pay for $200 or $300 tickets. That's just not in my budget. So I'd rather pay $80 a month for Sunday tickets, sit at home, just like B. Mitch said, I can sponsor Budweiser and in my living room and sit in my living room and pay $80 a month and watch the game myself and versus, you know, paying that extra dollar. So they do need to somehow make it reasonable for fans that are financially stable, if I can say that, to be able to afford these games. But I do see us winning a division. I feel like we can grab these 2 games, and we just really need ourselves to just really dictate these last 5 games and come out at least 4-1 these last 5 games, and those 2 of those against Dallas. I really do believe in what Ron is cooking in Landover. So I'm riding with the squad, make FedEx bump again, hail to the burgundy and gold.
Thank you, Darren. Appreciate you, buddy. I think there are plenty of people that it's just too costly to go. And that's not all incorrect. Like, you got a budget, man. You got kids or families or whatever. Like, you got more important stuff in the world.
Yeah, I learned a long time. I'm not going to try to tell nobody what to do with their money.
For sure.
I'm not going to sit there and try to, you know, shame people in a – man, listen, if you're pricing out your fans, that's not a good damn business move.
No way.
If you think, oh, I could get this off of this one game, you have 9 home games. No. It was 10 home games total. Now it may be, you may end up getting 11 sometime now because they got the extra WhichCon going in. The extra preseason.
Right.
It'll drop down. It may end up still 9 or 10, whatever it is. You don't want to just put all your eggs in one game. You want to be able to have those fans that are here locally coming to, let's say, 7 of the other 9 or 10 or 6 or 5 of them. If this one game is more important than everything else, I don't think that's good business savvy.
Doesn't seem to be a long-term strategy anyway at all. Here's what we're going to do. Pete Haley from NBC Sports will join us next. Listen, everybody on hold. We're coming back to you. Don't worry. We're going to listen. We're going to hear from Ron Rivera at 1 o'clock. Don't go anywhere.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. A lot going on today. A lot of truth to be told about the Washington football team, about their playoff chances, about their big win in Vegas, about their chances this weekend against Dallas, and about what to expect with that stadium come Sunday at 1 o'clock. To help us sort it all out, let's go to the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app. Let's talk to our friend Mr. Pete Haley, NBC Sports Washington, the Washington Football Talk podcast. Peter, what's up, buddy?
Hello, JP. Hello, Brian. JP, I know I'm sure a lot of people have commented on this, but it sounds like it hurts for you to talk. Not that just that you don't have a voice, but like it's painful. So just know my thoughts are with you as you recover.
I'm much better today than I was yesterday. I think I'm like...
Yeah, he's better today. Still not good, okay. But he's better.
Yeah, you sound like you're 85.
Yesterday was tough. Okay. You also caught me in a moment I hadn't had any water. But doing all right.
Hydrate.
I'm doing all right. What do you think of Washington's chances to win this game Sunday?
I love their chances. And I know football is very much based on your opponent and how you match up with them. But Washington right now, I'm just caring more about what they're doing versus whoever they're playing. They're in such a rhythm right now. And I feel like the things they do are able to handle any opponent, no matter what kind of offense or defense they're playing against. No NFL defense likes having to tackle a running back the size of Antonio Gibson 25 times a game. And no NFL offense likes to face a defense that plays disciplined coverage, prevents big plays over the top, and sends well-timed blitzes from all over the place that feature linebackers here and a safety coming there and defensive tackles busting up the middle. So I love Washington's chances. And I just think there's a really serious confidence that starts with Taylor Heinicke, but is being spread throughout the team, and it's being spread to its stars, but it's also being spread to third stringers and fourth stringers who are just kind of caught up in this rush right now. So I think Washington, you know, the word I use is invincible, and I say that kind of sarcastically, kind of as a joke, but I think it's also a little bit true that they just think they're going to go into whatever stadium, no matter the circumstance, and beat their opponent right now, and that's a very dangerous feeling for a squad to have.
You've watched this team throughout the season, and you watch them in the last few games or so. When you play against a team with as many weapons as Dallas offensively, does that make you wonder or worry any?
Sure, it makes me wonder. I think some of the teams they've beaten in the streak, the Panthers, for example, and the Seahawks had offenses that weren't exactly threatening, but the Raiders, I know they don't have the same names that Dallas has, but they were an offense that lived on 20-plus air yard passes, and Washington held them to just 2 on Sunday. And the Bucs, I know they're missing Antonio Brown and Gronk, but you have the best quarterback of all time and 2 damn good 1A and 1B receivers, and Washington held their own against them too. So I think Washington, look, this is a defense that's missing 2 of its biggest names, but this was also a defense that we expected to be able to handle some of the league's best offenses and be some unit that could carry this whole franchise throughout the season. And right now they're playing that way. So yes, Dallas's weapons do worry me, but at the same time, Washington's defense is stout. It's strong and it's playing disciplined. And again, I think that's something that they should be able to hang their hats on no matter who they're playing.
Well, I tell you what, they're going to need Landon Collins back. The team just announced that Kalik Hudson is going on the IR. He hurt his ankle in the game against the Raiders. Collins, McKissick, listen, they beat the Raiders and it's a good win, but that was pretty dicey down the end. It wasn't, I don't think it was Heinicke's best game. they're just running the ball so well. Dallas can score at a much higher pace, maybe necessarily, than they've been doing lately. Are you at all concerned that Dallas will view this as a opportunity for them to get their act together?
Definitely, and I think Dallas having the extended rest, and of course Dak is far better than Taylor, and this is a very prolific offense. So while Washington's defense has been able to hold their opponents in the teens during this winning streak, we haven't had to see Washington necessarily keep up in a scoring match. You know, they, when they beat the Bucks, they won 29-19, but it wasn't 32-29 like we thought. So can Washington keep up with Dallas if this defense isn't rolling? We haven't seen this rushing attack. You know, it's great. It helps in so many ways, but is it able to transition into a passing attack when the other team's offense is lighting it up? That's probably the one thing I'm skeptical of. Like the rushing attack, you win the time of possession, you keep your defense fresh, but if you go down 10-3, then all of a sudden you have to divert from that plan. We don't know if Heinicke can do that. We know he's got good players in McLaurin and Samuel, et cetera, but there is a formula they're using, and we haven't seen that formula have to be adjusted if they go down quickly or need to score 25-28 points. So, look, I think this is probably the hardest matchup of the streak so far. The Bucks are the defending champs, but they were in a bit of a rut. And right now, Dallas, I think, well-rested and still the division leader, is going to be their toughest test yet. But they're passing every test we put in front of them, and I have a lot of faith that they can do so again on Sunday.
We talk about the specialists a lot, and I think when I look at this game, I'm looking at Washington's offensive line against Dallas' offensive line against Washington's defensive line. How do you think that plays out?
So the defensive ends, like the non-Young and Sweats, they're rotating in well and they're playing very disciplined, but they aren't as explosive, clearly. That's because Sweat and Young are first-round picks and freaks, while the rest of these guys are seventh-rounders, free agents, who play maybe more disciplined but still aren't coming off and forcing strip sacks and doing all those types of game-changing plays. So I think it's going to have to be the interior, especially John Allen and Matt Ioannidis, who make those types of plays and force Dak off his spot. The run defense has been really good, and the pass rush, while effective, hasn't necessarily generated a ton of sacks since 99 and 90 went down. So for the Washington defensive line to hold up, I think the two Hills and the James Smith Williams of the world just need to continue to do their job, stay in their lanes, and hopefully we can get one of those takeover games from Allen where he has a 1.5 sacks and Ioannidis gets in there for 1.5, and maybe they can draw a ball loose on a running play on a Dak Prescott dropback. So I give the edge to Dallas's offensive line, but Washington's defensive line is definitely no slouch and features maybe one of the top two or three defensive tackles in the league right now.
Talking to Pete Haley here from NBC Sports Washington. Give him a follow on Twitter at Pete Haley, NBCS. Haley is H-I-H-A-I-L-E-Y. I wanted to ask you this, Pete. We've been talking a lot today about I'm committed to trying to make FedEx Field bump again. And a lot of people tell me, when did FedEx ever bump? It did. If you go back to the Robert Griffin, the third year, it was bumping. If you even go back to the late Kirk playoff run in 2015, it was bumping. Like, it can happen. How convinced are you that it can happen again this season?
I don't know if I'm convinced. I certainly support the mission, and I hope it comes to fruition. But just because it's been such a long time, and there's been, you know, it's been a super long time, but it's been about 4 or 5 years. And in those 4 or 5 years, there's been continued advancements in people's home theaters and the appeal of red zone and going elsewhere and just having the comfort of whether it's your favorite sports bar or your basement. And, you know, we've seen this before with Washington, and I made this comparison earlier, but it's not apples to apples, because when it was Alex Smith and they were 6-3, that wasn't the most exciting brand of football. Yep. They weren't on this crazy heater winning streak, and they were playing the Texans that day instead of the rival Cowboys. But that stadium was pretty empty, and that was a bit of a letdown for me and a whole bunch of people. So that is still in the back of my mind, and I just think while the stadium will be more inspired than it has been probably all year, I still don't expect it to be completely filled out or like for us to be sitting in the press box right before kickoff and thinking, damn, this is really impressive. I just think there's still a huge mountain for this front office and these business people to climb. And the only way I see FedEx really, really bumping again is if they somehow host a home playoff game later this year. I just don't think regular season, even though it's against the Cowboys, on a four-game winning streak is the time for a lot of people to turn out. It's just too big of a gap to bridge right now.
But what will it take? I mean, I know we always say winning cures all, but I look at this whole situation, and it seems to be more than just about the football. And what will it take for people to really start coming back to the same? And a lot of your counterparts, you know, you millennials, y'all don't like to just go places and sit down. So,
yeah, there's something to that. And what will it take? Extended winning for sure matters, not just a month or so. There's plenty more that needs to be done. But I was thinking when I was at the Raiders game, and I'm going to write a story about this, like that stadium is beautiful. It's new, all that stuff. But it wasn't the stadium that made the difference to me. It was more the experience. And I get it that Las Vegas is a unique city that is going to be completely different than whatever Virginia or Maryland suburb this new stadium ends up in. But that game was fun. They had music the entire time. They were doing crazy strobe light effects. They were, every time out, there was something going on. The PA announcer would come on at various times during important plays in the game and yell, just go Raiders. And every fan would lose their mind. Like, they made sure fans stayed engaged, even if the game wasn't that exciting. And you felt it. And, like, I was sitting in the press box, like, jealous of those fans. When I'm in FedEx Field, I'm not jealous of the fans. So it's not just the stadium needing to be $1 billion and gorgeous and have great seats and great viewpoints. It needs to have tradition and fun and excitement, and FedEx has been missing that. So I think that's an ingredient that certainly needs to be included, Brian.
Well, it's a good point because – I mean, Vegas is obviously Vegas, and everything's going to be over the top and like a Broadway show. But go to Baltimore, and just the stuff they do in between timeouts, it's simple. Like, just have fans do contests. Like, all these things are simple. There are simple things to do that could make the experience way more fun. Not to mention, don't have water start leaking out of various parts of the stadium.
Yeah, like, that's certainly important. And another thing I noticed, too, and this is hard for Washington right now because they have a temporary name, but whenever they settle on the new name, and this, again, it's also kind of an unfair comparison because there's not going to be any history with that name, but still, everywhere you looked, you saw that Raider and his eye patch and his swords. It was on water bottles, popcorn bags.
Yeah.
Every piece of surface they had in that stadium, they were reinforcing their history and their branding. And it like, made me want to buy a Raiders shirt and be a part of it. Washington, whenever they get this new logo, people are going to have to embrace it. They're going to have to warm up to it. Put it everywhere you can and make it feel like this is the team's home. And if you're wearing something else, make it feel like you're violating or trespassing. So I really was impressed by how the Raiders fostered an environment and not just, you know, you can build a new stadium, but it needs to have personality. And Allegiant Stadium, despite being a year and a half old, I felt like it had a lot of personality.
That thing was branded like hell. You're right.
As I was told, they didn't care if you were a Washington fan or a Las Vegas Raiders fan. There was a towel and a bottle of water in your seat.
Right. Don't only give out 10,000 towels.
All I've been saying was give people something. Water and some towels with your logo on it is never going to hurt. Not you, your bottom end.
And how much can that cost you? 30
Not
grand?
Not too much, I don't think.
It won't cost so much where it's going to hurt the bottom line, I promise you that.
Last one, Pete, before we let you go. I don't know in your lifetime, honestly. I mean, the best team you ever saw was probably the 2006 Redskins. Does Dallas Week do a lot for you?
I really want it to. And, there have been good memories with Sean Taylor blocking the field goal and Moss having that catch and RG3 and Thanksgiving. Like, there have been some fun memories, but I'm more calling it Dallas Week because I know that's what I'm supposed to say and that's what everybody else around me, like, you know, the previous generation, it really means something to them, so I just kind of want to latch on to it. But if I'm honest, no. It's an important game. It's a fun game because it's the division leader, but I'm not necessarily drumming up any extra passion because it's Dallas Week, and that's, I think the rivalry has taken a hit because Dallas has dominated so much recently. So hopefully, last year was great, but they beat two backup quarterbacks. Maybe this year beating Dak Prescott and being in a heated division race can do something more. But Dallas Week to me, whether it's kind of the same as Philly Week or Giants Week, it's just an NFC East matchup, sadly.
Make FedEx bump again. Thank you, Pete. We'll talk to you soon, bud.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon as well.
Hi, brother.
That is Pete Haley from NBC Sports Washington. Give him a follow at Pete Haley, NBCS. 20 minutes, we're going to hear from Ron Rivera this morning on With the Junkies. Next, we're going to take your calls. Does Dallas Week mean what it once did? I just asked Linnell. Linnell's a 24-year-old, big Washington fan, self-proclaimed. I was like, well, does Dallas Week mean a lot to you? He's like, yeah, I think so. And I was like, well, why? He's like, because that's what they say?
Yeah, I think so. Right there, tell you, it doesn't mean a lot to him.
Well, and I'm not clowning Linnell on this. I think for people that are under 30, when has Dallas Week meant that much? But, I mean, when was that NFC title game?
I mean, that was 35 years ago. People don't like to really think about it. And when you start looking at it, okay, this franchise and the way people love it and are rabid about it came from a lot of people that were priced out when they left from FedEx Field. I mean, from RFK and went over to FedEx Field. And since 1999, 2000, they've been pushed out even farther, okay? And then the young people, younger generation, they are hard to hold their attention, okay? And if your team isn't consistently doing well, they will find something else to occupy their time. And right now, you've pissed off the people that were already hell-bent on loving your squad, and the other guys, you haven't done enough to be able to catch them. So how do you do that? You can't keep doing what you've been doing thinking that you're going to change up their mindsets. You got to start doing something you've never done. As simple as it sounds, when I was talking with Ahmed on the phone, or when he was down in Wichita, the bottled water was Raiders water.
Right.
The towels were Raiders towels. Nobody had to, and you know what? You paid for it in some way. But the fact that somebody didn't directly make you hand them money for it, you felt as if you were getting it for free.
Totally.
That's all I've said to this team over and over again to everybody I've ever talked to that were on the business side. I said, people that make people think they're giving them something are normally very damn successful. If you do that, you can be successful. But normally when do things happen? When the uproar happens, then they'll come out and do something. Then they'll give it to like a small percentage of the fans. You think 20% is worth way more than the other 80% of the fans? You got to find a way to make everybody feel like they're included.
I'm with you.
You know, and when you do that, it changes up things. And in this day and age, you have to entertain. And all that stuff that goes on in L.A., and I know that Vegas is a different place. It's a totally different place. But there are a bunch of stadiums that are not in Las Vegas that entertain the hell out of their fans consistently, too, without their fans feeling like everything that we get, we have to pay for it again.
Totally.
Although you are paying for it from the initial, investment you put into all of it. You pay
right,
for it.
Right.
But they make you, for some kind of way, think that they're not, that you're not paying. You're being given something.
Well, I'll add this. Other places make it feel like there is reinvestment into the stadium and the experience. Right? Because every fan that walks into that game knows how much money they make just from TV.
Yeah.
People are informed. The information is everywhere. So it doesn't all have to be game-driven income because we know how much money you're making.
Yeah.
So you could throw a little money at this.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
Listen, man, what's the little saying, scared money don't make no money? Okay, you go to Vegas and you won't bet, you won't win. You might lose, but you won't win.
Right.
But the thing about it, if you want to get the, if you want to have people be willing to hand over their money, hard-earned money in this day and age, you have to be willing to invest something. And I guarantee you, the minimal amount it takes to invest in what we're discussing is small fries compared to what you would get in return.
Totally. So a couple good tweets here. Mark Henning tweeted in. He said, my 12-year-old wants to go to his first NFL game. It's $200 to sit in section 400 nosebleeds. $400 in 300 sections, times three people, parking, concessions. That would be $1,500 for my family 3 weeks before Christmas. No way. But then the flip side, and I want to point out the flip side. This is from Capo72 on Twitter. He says, yes, the one-game tickets are expensive. That's why you buy season tickets. I bought end zone club-level seats for next year. That includes parking and food and beverage for every game. For $1,800 for the year for 10 games comes out to $180 a game.
Yeah, but somebody may not be able to spend $1,800 like he just did. He stated he did. And they've been looking at tickets over the last 8 to 10 weeks or whatever weeks where you can get tickets at $40, $50. Okay? And then now they're at $400 in the 400 level. Does it seem fair? When I could, yeah, but it's easy for a lot of us to say, yeah, I could go, I could get tickets. I get whatever tickets from wherever I want. I got multiple friends that have suites and everything else in the stadium. Okay, I also can go and get stuff from alumni things and different things. I don't mind purchasing. But everybody doesn't have that ability.
Right.
And if you're trying to get people to come back and get people to come and be first time, this might not be the game that you want to have those prices like they are.
Make it awesome. Make people want to be there. Like, it's not – winning helps, and winning is the most important thing by a mile. But there's got to be some sense of value, to your point, Brian. And the value can't only be the picture that – who texted us that? Can't be that. The picture that was texted to us of the gentleman in the standing room only maximizing the layout of the space. All right, we kind of started ranting there.
Entertain himself.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't entertaining on the field or in the stadium, so they decided to entertain themselves.
Yeah.
We ranted too much. Here's what we're going to do. We got calls. We're going to take them next. Then we'll get to Ron from this morning on the Junkies. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.